All right, welcome to the podcast. It is June 12th, is that right, Taylor? It is it's June 13th, my watch is off. But I'm going to be doing the recap of Tuesday, June 12th. And I was thinking about, hey, what should I talk about today on the podcast? And what came to mind was actually not doing a whole recap of the entire day, but actually just focusing on one element of my day, which was a conversation I had with an old good friend of mine. And I met up with him around 7:30, and we talked until 10:30 last night. And so this friend of mine has been running his family business for many years, very successful financially, you know, has done very well for himself. And you know, I always kind of looked up to him as this this person who's built, you know, a really great business. And he reached out to me last week and he said, hey, and we've never really talked deeply about business. You know, I met him back in the day when I was at NYU, and, you know, it wasn't really a connection over just pure business. You know, he always knew I was entrepreneurial, but we just liked each other and we're good friends. And so we've never talked intensely about business. Also, he was kind of at a different level than me, and whatever it was, is we never talked about that. We always bonded over other things, right? And then he messaged me, or rather, I'd also say I'd asked him business questions, right? But he never asked me questions. But last week, I got a text from him saying, hey, can I meet up? I have some questions related to culture and that sort of stuff. I said, yeah, like, happy to meet up with you, right? Like, I felt honored. I was like, wow, you want to ask me questions? Like, what the hell is going on here? And so then I met with him last night for, you know, three and a half hours. And we had a very long talk, and I can't recap the whole thing. And there's some things I'm going to leave out of privacy and blah, blah, blah. But the main topic was culture. And, you know, he goes, you know, I've seen in your Instagram stories and you know, from pictures and whatever, it seems like you have a good culture. You know, of course, that's just on the surface and like that's what it seems. But, you know, is it real? And like, how did you do that? Because I'm struggling a bit with that. And so we started talking about culture, and I was like, you know, You asked me to like wind back and, you know, what did I do? How did I get here? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? Or not even right or wrong, just like what would I have done differently in hindsight, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, there was a couple, I don't know, I'll try and summarize some of the things here. You know, it's hard to summarize a 3.5 hour conversation. But, you know, dating, you know, a couple years ago, the company definitely was not like this, right? I was pretty depressed. I went through a depression, had a ton of anxiety, a ton of stress, thought about actually folding the company because I was just so unhappy and people were not happy there, and kind of hit this plateau of like couldn't break through a certain revenue mark, and that combined with just being unhappy every single day, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like it's not worth it. You know, and I ultimately decided, hey, no, like, this is actually what I want to do. It's just, this is not the way I want to do it. So I took a step back and started looking at different companies, you know, and was trying to do research essentially, be like, all right, what did they figure out that I haven't, right? There's something that they know that I don't. And basically what I came across was that really I was good at building a business, not a company. And I'm starting to think that through conversations that I'm having, that depending on the type of business you have and the type of industry, there's some plateau that you're going to hit. Like if you're good at business, if you're good at making money, right, which I figured out how to make money in general, and so is he, and so have other people, right? Every industry and every type of business, I think, had some plateau where if you are just good at making money, you can keep pushing it to a certain level, depending on the vehicle you're in, right? I hit my plateau. He's at kind of this plateau, and other people are at different plateaus. They're just different numbers in different industries. But anyways, you hit this plateau, right? And I was like, fuck, what do I need to do to break through? And really the conclusion after looking up about a bunch of different companies, doing research, looking at entrepreneurs, but really companies and like the companies that last, why? And why do they even last after the founder leaves, right? Or the CEO leaves, and like why can they continue to thrive? And really the thing I learned was that it's all about culture. Culture, culture, culture. And so I was like, okay, culture and people, like, what does that even mean? Right? Like, back then, I didn't even know what culture meant. I thought it was hosting events and going out drinking and going go-karting and these sorts of things. But I didn't know. You know, I was, you know, a couple years ago, I was 25, I guess, at the time. Don't really know what I'm doing. Still, sometimes I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. But, you know, 25, 26 at the time. And being like, okay, I need to like learn what culture is and talking about it. And so then, I started learning more and I don't know exactly how I came up with this, but you know, maybe it was working with my coach as well. But basically I was like, okay, well, we need values. Right? Like every company has a culture. It's whether it was intentional, or fostered or I guess it was not, and that's kind of what you have. It's never you don't ever not have a culture, right? And one thing that, you know, and I'll just speak, what I believe today is that the foundation of culture is having a shared set of values, right? Some values and principles to live by that everyone agrees to and hold each other accountable on, right? And so a couple years ago, I came and we established our set of values. And maybe this would be helpful because I shared this last night, is like how we came up with the values, right? Is I'll tell you what I did and then what I would do differently. So what did I do? I listed out, 100 values that I thought were important to me and the company, right? And then I took that list and then I narrowed it down to like, 30 or something. Then I got the team in the room, talked through them and then helped whittle them down to like, half that. Then I came back and I said, okay, out of those, these are the ones that are important. And then I rolled them out. Right? Now, what I would have done slightly differently, is this. I would have actually started with, hey, everyone, let's talk about what are the values that are important. And I would have actually started with collaboration, right? Because when I rolled it out, here's the 7 and we're going with them, I didn't have complete buy-in from everyone because not everyone helped me create every single one of those, right? It was a kind of collaborative process, but then I ultimately have the say, right? But culture is not, it is, it stems from the top, but it's not only created by me, it's created by everyone. So if I was to do it again, how I would approach it to create values is I would take, if we were, at our size, we were 10 people, so I literally gathered everyone in the room, but let's say you have 30 people, right? I would take the people that are the most influential, the leaders in the company, the people who have the most say, etc., that you think are representative of the team, gather them in a room. So maybe it's 5 to 10 people out of the 30, right? And then you get them and you talk through it and you say, all right, let's list out everything, right? And you list out a whole list. And then I would go and then narrow that down. Then I would come back to them and work with them through an iterative process to narrow it down to whether it's 7, right? I think 7 is a good number. More than that is I think difficult to remember. Once you have those, I would also roll them out slightly differently. When I rolled them out to the team, it was me on a board. And I was rolling them out to everyone and it came from me, right? What I would do differently is I would actually have team members roll out the values, right? Because it really, the value should be stemmed from the team and a culmination of what's important to the team, right? Not just what's important to you. Hopefully you align with those, right? That's the idea behind it. And in our case, I align very well with them. And I share the values and I think everyone in the company shares the values, but if they're actually rolled out by your leadership team, if you have that, then I think you could potentially get, and I don't know because I haven't tried this, but this is just what I would do differently. If we're doing it today, is I think you would have greater buy-in from the team because then it comes from someone else, not just you. So that's like establishing values, right? But it's not enough to just say, here's our values, right? You know, just establishing them isn't really, you know, that's step one. I don't think it was even until 3-6 months in that we actually started really living these as much, right? But so let me just give a couple tips on like living the values that I've found, right? So a few things. One is if you don't hold each other accountable to the values, they will not be lived, and then they're kind of useless and no one will actually follow them, right? And it starts with you, right? So for example, what I did when we didn't have a great culture, in my opinion, was if something happened, like if someone was talking about a customer of ours in a certain way that I didn't like, you know, I just wouldn't say anything. Now, if I hear that, right, we actually have conversations about that, and then we relate it back to values. Because what I found is oftentimes the behavior that is happening that you would not like to happen can oftentimes be related to a value. So, for example, if you are not really helping a partner and you're complaining about a partner, right? I'm just making this up. Is one of our values is we make each other successful. And that includes both our partners and internally, right? So we can actually have a conversation and relate it to a value and have an open discussion about how that is not making our partner successful, right? And there's a coaching at every moment in time. So when we see things, I'm a guardian of the culture now, but so is everyone else, right? So I have to hold everyone accountable. And if I'm not holding other people accountable, right, no one else is going to do it. So it starts with me at the top if you're the CEO of the company, but then you have to have enrollment from other people on the team. So now, you know, values and the culture are so important that we actually now have a head of people who is responsible for people and culture. That's how important it is to me and how much of I think it's a an advantage to us moving forward, and it's a better way to run a business and a company. Right. And so now she is also, her name is Lauren. She's also focused on making sure we are, you know, accountable to those things, having discussions that I would have because I can't be everywhere, especially as we grow. So she's doing it. And then also, you know, other people on the team are also doing it. And it's this little cascading effect where now everyone is having discussions about this, but you really have to be holding each other accountable. And from a management perspective, right, I hold Lauren accountable. She actually holds me accountable. Other people, I leave it open. Everyone can hold me accountable as well, right? I'm not immune to this stuff, and I need help, right, as well. And, you know, another, like, getting just a bit more granular on tactics, right, during one-on-ones, for example, having discussions about these things, right, is important. So we set up one-on-ones for the management team, or anyone who's a direct report has a one-on-one once a week. We also are creating an entire employee review process. And part of that is you're going to be rated on how well you live the values, because that's super important, right? In our interview process, we have a whole hour and a half test that we've designed to test for, let's call it aptitude for values, right? Like, that's how important it is. It's not just about skills. We actually have an entire cultural test that we call it, where either I or the head of people administer it right now. So those are some kind of more tactical things, but you know what's interesting is you know, also through this conversation, also through this past week, a couple of people mentioned, and it wasn't just him, that hey, it seems like you have a great culture because people are staying late, right? And what's funny, right, is that's actually not how I look at it, right? Like, that's not a great culture. That's a byproduct of a great culture. People staying late is not the great culture. People staying late is a byproduct of a great culture, right? And so people are at, like, how do you do that? It's like, well, like, I didn't ask people to stay late, right? Like, sometimes, you know, hey, I need help. I need to stay, you know, can you stay late, right? For the majority of times, like, people are just staying late. You know, this is not me forcing anyone to do that. People are doing that without me asking, right? And you know, stop to think, like, why is this? Because 3 years ago, I couldn't get people to do it. Or I felt bad asking people. Or if I called someone at 8 p.m. because I needed something, needed help on something, I'd feel like I was overstepping or something like that. And now I just don't feel that at all. Like, I genuinely feel I can call anyone on the team at 8 p.m., 9 p.m. and be like, hey, I need help with something. If I really need it, they would actually do it. And I was thinking, like, why is this, right? And I believe it's really because we've built a great culture. And the foundation of that is values that aren't just that. Like, they're real. They're legit. They're meaningful. We hold each other accountable to them. And I think that's really important. And the byproduct is people are happy. People are working together. People are staying late, right? Like, that's the byproduct. Also, a byproduct is of having a great culture is also our revenue is way up, right? So it's also from a business standpoint, it's actually good business to have a great culture, right? And I didn't really, it was interesting, like, to do that, right? So, like, if you actually just look at the numbers, right? And this isn't the only reason why we're there. Just yesterday, I found out that our entire revenue for the year to date, is greater, just past the entire revenue for the last year, right? And revenue is a lagging indicator of previous things, right? So that means all the work we've been doing is actually working, right? It's not just culture. There's sales stuff we're doing, reinvesting. There's a bunch of things, but I can't. There's no way, in my opinion, that we'd be at the place we're at without a great culture. Now, there's other parts to a culture, in my opinion, or when I describe culture, it's not just about the values. Other things that I changed a couple years ago was I also, it's clear, I think, to people, right, where we are going, why we exist as a company, right? What is our purpose? What is our mission, right? And we actually established that, right? And the kind of mission over the next 10 years that I've established is that by 2027, so about 10 years from now, we will have positively impact 100 million people through the products and solutions that we help to create and that we create with our partners, right? And so, like, that's what we're striving to, right? And we have this march to it, right? And then the other part of it is, hey, that's where we're going as a company, but also there's a more higher emphasis, or I've tried to have this more on, like, personal growth, right? How do you as a person tie to the success of the company and vice versa? How does the company help you succeed and how do you help the company succeed, right? Because if you're not growing as a person, people love growth, right? And people love to contribute is what I've found, right? Is if you're contributing to the greater mission of the company and the company is contributing to you and you're growing as a person and achieving your personal goals through the company, right? Your mission doesn't have to be the same as the company. But if you find a little element of the company's mission that resonates or helps you get to where you're going, where you want to go, whatever it may be, right? You could have a personal mission for something else, right? And caring about people's personal growth, I think, is really important. Something I didn't really, emphasize before, but I actually care about. And I can't personally do that, alone now that we're bigger, 30 people. You know, it's not just me, it's other people having to do this, other people who have direct reports doing this kind of thing. So I think it's like a culmination of things. I don't know exactly what it is, but like those are some things that I've been doing that seem to be working. One thing I want to do is actually literally ask every single person on the team, what do they think about the culture? Why do they stay late? I'm just hypothesizing here. These are things that I think really just need to ask people. If people are asking me, here's my guesses. Let me just ask the people and I'll give you guys the answers on what they say. But, those were some thoughts on culture. I did a whole rant to someone on the team about it this morning about what I learned. Let me just look. I have some notes here. So here's a fun one, right? Is that this is the one thing that money cannot buy, right? If you're doing well in business and you know how to make money, this is the one thing you can't throw money at, right? Which is a crazy part, right? A lot of things you can throw money at and solve. Like, say you need to find a new marketing channel. You can spend a bunch of money and test out a bunch of different things and find the marketing channel, right? With a culture, you can't throw money at it. All you can throw is your time, your life energy into it, and it takes time to do, which is a big, like, mind fuck almost, because up until that point, I was used to, like, oh, I can solve this with, I could think through this problem, or spend some money here, right? This is actually something you can't, right? So it's actually the cheapest from just a cash outlay perspective. It's the cheapest thing you can do, actually, because you don't actually have to spend money on it. But it's also the most expensive thing you can do because it takes your time. The one thing you can't get back in life is time, and you have to give your time and energy to fostering and maintaining this culture. And it's really important to me, and And I'm glad I invested in this because, one, I'm just much more happy. I think everyone is much happier, right? The byproduct of it is, yes, more revenue. But really, when you think about it, byproduct is happier workforce, better retention. So we used to have retention issues. I had people leaving all the time. Now, no one has left other than us actually letting someone go. The only time people have left, there's been two people that left, and they both went to an existing customer, joined a customer of ours because that through the work we were doing for the customer, they found that was, you know, from a personal standpoint, that lined up so closely with where they want to go over the next few years that they actually had my blessing to go. I was like, great, through Jack, you were able to find a partner, a customer of ours, who one, we did great work for months and months and months, and then you wanted to join them, not because you didn't like Jack, but because Jack helped you find this person. So in a way, like, I was super happy for them, right? Like, if we didn't work with them, I don't think they would have left Jack. But through this, they were able to find something that was even more alignment with their long-term personal goals. And so I was happy for them. So other than that, though, no one has actually left in the past couple years, which, you know, of course, other than, you know, having to, you know, if we fired someone, right? Different case. You know, and a couple other points. I'm just looking through some of my notes. Here is... you know, I got asked the question, hey, what if someone is making you a lot of money, but they're not a cultural fit? Would you keep them? And my answer a couple years ago would have been, yeah. My answer now, no. Not even a thought. I don't care how much money you are making us if you are not a cultural fit. And it's not just off the bat, hey, you did something that was against our values or whatever. It's we've tried to course correct, we've done everything, and it's just not, you're not a fit for our culture, right? There's no question I would actually remove that person. No questions asked, I would do it. It's best for the company, and it's also best for that person, right? They can go find somewhere that is a better cultural fit, and they will even be happier, right? So for me, it's not even a question. And you have this room? Thanks. All right, so we're getting kicked out, but anyways, so that's the podcast of the day. I'll start touching on more stuff later. I'll see you guys tomorrow.